Poplar Creek on April 6th. Poplar Creek said 177th and Cleveland Avenue. It's for the outstretched hands of Romania, the work we support in Romania. It's $15, 13 and above, and $5 for 4 to 12 years old. And you hear about the ministry of outstretched hands. So put that on your calendars. Good to see Anna and Crystal in church this morning. Our hearts were with you. Everything going okay? God is good. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. He is good. He takes us through all these things in our life, doesn't he? Praise God and gives you peace. Reminding me, as we're talking about the Lord fighting our battles, reminds me of, I think you and I were singing it the other day, Mark, a chorus we used to sing when we were early days. If I hold my peace, then the Lord will fight my battle. Victory, well, I would sing a little higher. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory, oh, victory is mine. If I hold my peace, then the Lord will fight my battles. Victory, oh, victory is mine. That's what Moses said when they were getting ready to cross. For God said to them, ready to cross the Red Sea, I will fight your battles. You just hold your peace. Praise God. That's a hard thing to do, huh? Jack, wherever Jack went, we always want to react in the flesh. Amen. I'm preaching out of Luke chapter 13 this morning, verses 6 through 9. Lord, bless the preaching, the hearing, receiving of your word. God, let it pierce into our soul and our spirit, Lord, and do, God, what you intended to do in each of us, Lord, that we would be fruit bearers, Lord. We would bring forth fruit, God, for your honor and your glory and praise, Lord. So when you come looking for it, there's plenty there. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Luke 13, 6 through 9, and he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. I tried to find something significant about a fig tree being in a vineyard, but I read that in Israel and in Arab lands, it was common to have fig trees planted in vineyards. So I'm not getting any profound revelation out of that this morning. Verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why take up space? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So the scholars will tell you, and I don't disagree with them, this is a parable about Israel being the fig tree. And the 3 years represent, maybe this isn't said so much, especially by Jewish scholars, but that the 3 years represent the ministry of Jesus. And the keeper, who is Jesus, wanted to yet dig around this tree and dung it. And this is also seen as the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's why you'll read that the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ. You can't separate Christ from the Spirit and God. It's all three of them are. And when you get one, you get them all. Amen? Praise God. So it was during the start of the fourth year that this parable is talking about. Is, you know, 3 years now it's been watching. The master comes for fruit. He's not getting any. So the keeper says, well, let me yet dig down and dung it. You can really see this as the ministry of Jesus. He's been there 3 years. He started in his ministry was for 3.5 years. So he's basically into this fourth year of ministry when he's making a plea to the master to let me go ahead and work this over a little bit and see if we can get some fruit out of it. And you see that as the last half year of Jesus' ministry. But it didn't end when Jesus died and went, you know, went to the cross and died and rose from the grave and was on earth for about another 50 days. But then he says, I must go so the Holy Spirit can come. And that ministry of Jesus has continued to this very day. So this parable ends with a warning that if we don't produce fruit, we are in danger of being cut down. And if we don't, if we produce a barren life, if we don't produce fruit, we have a danger of being cut down. So even though this could be a parable about Israel, you know, any warning in the Bible to a person or to a people or to a nation always overlaps into the kingdom of God. And it's all the principle spans the whole Christian realm, and it's applicable to every Christian. So the parable isn't just about Israel getting right with the Lord and producing fruit, but is a call to all people, to all nations, to be right with the Lord and produce fruit in your life. So the testimony or the evidence that conformity to Christ is happening in you is that you are producing fruit. This is the work that the Spirit does. He has two works. He calls unredeemed man to repentance, and then he works with redeemed man and conforms them to Christ. And as he does that, the fruit of the Spirit starts taking fruit, producing in your life. And it's a fruit not necessarily from doing good works, though it can include that, but it's the fruit of the nature and the character of Christ. Amen. Just as you can't help like acting like you know, like Joy quit being Joy. Well, she doesn't know how to not be Joy. And it's the same thing when Christ's nature grabs a hold of you, you can't help but be and act like him. Praise God. What an awesome thing that you don't even have to think about it anymore. You just automatically respond because of the fruit of Christ in you. And understand that our God is a fruit inspector. And he will come and see if you are producing any. He's come many times in my life, and I'm sure he's come many times in your life, to see how you're doing. See if any fruit's growing. So if you can take a bite or two and be satisfied. But if you do not have fruit of the Spirit, it could be one reason could be because you're a brand new believer and your seed is barely cracked open and barely taken root. But if you've been a believer for a while, and if you are not producing this fruit that I'm talking about, you are in danger of going to hell. This is what will happen. If you do, when you get cut down, you get thrown into the fire. So you need to produce fruit in your life. Well, this tree, it says, was cumbering the ground. It was taking up space. And this word cumbereth means entirely idle, and it means useless. So if the church is not having an effect in some way, if the church is not really doing anything for the kingdom of God, then she is a useless church. And there is really no reason for there to even be a church in a community if there isn't some fruit coming out. Now, obviously, not everybody in the church produces fruit. I mean, it's supposed to. We're all supposed to be believers in the church and producing fruit. But I understand that there's non-believers in there. There's people coming in, maybe yet to be saved. But for the most part, that there should be some fruit being produced by this church. But if there isn't any at all it is a waste of space. It's taking up space, calling itself a church, but not doing anything at all for the kingdom of God. Certainly a carnal church can offer some valuable things to the carnal world. Feeding programs, community projects. It can have a family-friendly atmosphere, good place to come and get to know people. I mean, I'd rather get to come to church and get to know people than at a bar or, you know, at some gang meeting somewhere in somebody's garage. Come to church and meet nice people. But a carnal church is filled with carnal-minded people. And these kind of people will have no fruit of the Spirit, so they will have no effect on the kingdom, no effect for the kingdom of God. The reason this man The very main reason this man had a fig tree in his vineyard was for the purpose of getting fruit from it, not to make a kitchen table out of it. And you know what? You make furniture out of dead wood. And he wanted this to be alive and produce fruit, bring forth fruit. It takes work such as pruning and watering, fertilizing to have a healthy tree to produce healthy fruit to eat. If there is no fruit, then what's the sense? I had a plum tree I planted in my backyard. I dug it out of Joy's parents' yard when it was just a little sport like that. And actually for about 2 or 3 years, I started getting some nice plums, and all of a sudden it got some like junk on it and started getting diseased, and it's not there anymore. Just taking up space, might as well get rid of it. What good is it? It's starting to look ugly, actually. That's what happens. They start quit producing fruit, and pretty soon they start looking ugly. They get worse, then it's just cut it down. I didn't even make anything out of it either. But bearing fruit is a very serious thing. So serious that after some time, if you do not produce fruit, you will get cut down. But aren't you glad for the grace of God? Aren't you glad for the patience of God? I'm probably everybody I'm looking at, and you're looking at a guy too that probably would have been cut down if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for his mercy in our life, if it wasn't for his compassion. He knows the predicament we're in. He knows we're bound by sin. He knows we're reeling from our own mind and our own sinful state. He knows that. And he doesn't want to scold us, and he doesn't want to send us to hell. Actually, we send ourselves. He has compassion. He wants to redeem us. He wants to save us. And even more than that, he wants us to bring forth fruit so the world can see, so the world can feed on our fruit. Jesus made that plea. Again, this keeper representing the ministry of Jesus, he saw the plea and he made the plea to the Father for us that we would not be cut down in our sin and our rebellion. And even went a step further, he made it so it's just that God wouldn't do it. Amen. Because he went and paid the penalty for us. He stood in the place of our condemnation and judgment, and now it's just of God. It's just not making God happy, but it makes it that God is right to heal you and deliver me of our sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. But again, Jesus said that I must go so the Holy Spirit can come. And I can't think of a better digging and a better dunging than the Holy Spirit to come and work in our lives, dealing with us. The keeper of the vineyard did not plead with the master to let him massage the branches or iron the leaves to try to get it to look good, to maybe help it bring forth, massage it into bringing forth some fruit. But what did he do? He wanted to get to the roots. He wanted to get to the roots. The keeper didn't ask if he could deal with the roots. He wanted to actually deal with the soil. Praise God. He wanted to deal with the soil that those roots were taking a grip in. You know, the environment, and I think this was actually Sandy and Matt both spoke this part of my sermon this morning, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. This environment above the ground, and there isn't anybody to talk this better to right now than us Wisconsinites that have been in a reel of the most goofiest weather I've ever seen. beautifully mild winter. November wasn't so good, but December and first half of January were beautiful. And I'm like, God, keep on letting the weather be nice so I can get my siding done on the part of the house where I have to get on the roof. Because once it gets a lot of ice in there, then it's like, how do I get up there and work on the siding without sliding off the roof and waiting for it to melt and all that? And the Lord held it off. And you guys all need to thank me because the Lord kept the good weather. In fact, when Caleb and I had about a half hour to go to finish the siding up on the final peak we were doing, a few flurries were starting to fall. And it just reminded me that God held it off. Oh, thank you, Lord. And we finished it. And then after that, it became terrible. So, but you can thank me for the first half of a good winter. But it's been ridiculous. Daryl Turner sent me a picture yesterday of a river coming out of a hill on his way to Chattanooga that normally isn't there. They've had so much rain. He showed me cars in the valleys that are buried or, you know, in water. And he says, it's unbelievable. And the environment above ground get, you know, hot and cold, wet and dry, whatever. These trees and these plants, I mean, unless like a tornado or hurricane comes, they can withstand these things. As we're complaining about them, all these trees around here, they're enduring that 24 below and 25 below weather. They're enduring the wind that's blowing today. Why? Because of the roots. And they can handle this weather, you know, this normal weather, not, again, not a like a tornado or hurricane is gonna rip it all up, but the normal changes of the environment, 100-degree temperature change in 1 year, we go through every year, these trees and all that endure. They tolerate it because they were designed by our almighty Creator to endure and to overcome, so to speak, whatever the environment around them throws at them. Praise God. I see that as the believer. Whatever God allows to be thrown at us, we can overcome it because we have been given the victory. Amen. So the environment, and none of us like what's happening to our nation. We don't like what's happening in the world. But you and I can stand strong. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The tree can tolerate great changes in the environment, and so can we. Through the grace of God, we can withstand anything that is around us, no matter how wicked it may be. When God made a new creature out of us, He made us to be able to endure all that can and will be thrown at us. And it will be. Much of society blames our environment, and psychologists blame the society for a person's sin, but the environment isn't really the problem. Notice that the dresser of the vineyard focused on where the real problem is. It has to do with the roots, but not the roots. To get to the roots, you get to the root. If the roots are good, the tree is fine. It will bear fruit just as prescribed. But to get, you had to deal with the soil. Roots do several things for the plant or the tree. The roots are ugly. They're the ugly part of the tree. And they don't have any fruit on it. But without it, there is no tree and there is no fruit. Got to have the root. The root comes from the seed, and it is first to grow. So when that seed breaks open, which represents the seed of Christ when we're born again, that seed comes into us. And He said, corn of wheat must die. Amen? When it cracks open, then them roots come out and they start digging in to that soil. So when we're born again, the roots of Christ, the seed of Christ comes in us, and those roots are already starting to take hold in our life. And our soil has a lot to do with how deep those roots will go, how rich those roots will receive from the soil. The seed of Christ comes to dwell in a human, and the first thing it does is start to take root. We experience the planting of the seed, you know something happened to you, but the roots are just starting to emerge and take footing. That is why it's so important for believers to hear the plain truth, not the old Plain Truth magazine. Remember that? I used to take those when I'd see them and throw them in the garbage. And I knew the guy that put them there. I didn't even told him what I was doing. But that's why it's important for believers to hear the plain truth out of the Bible, not the magazine. If the church would keep all their pet doctrines away from the new believers and just preach them the pure truth, their roots could get so firmly planted. As I said, roots have several functions. One of them is to absorb water. Another is to store minerals and nutrients. Another is to anchor the tree. And another four is to concentrate the nutrients to determine how fast the shoots can grow. You know, our bodies, up to 75% of our bodies are water. And you know what the rest of us is? Dirt. Right? Didn't God take us from the dust of the earth? and make people out of us. Praise God. But life needs water. And water is so important to NASA that they thought if they could even find a couple drops of water on Mars, that would therefore proclaim that there's life on Mars. I would never go that far. I wouldn't say wherever there is water, there is life, because I've been to some pretty nasty smelling swamps where the water's dead and it's putrid. But for there to be real life, there needs to be water. And for there need to be the life of the Holy Spirit, or life in, for the believer, there needs to be the water of the Holy Spirit flowing from the believer. Trees and plants need water. And the tree gets its water through the roots. And the roots absorb the water and provide it to the tree. Then the roots store the nutrients and the minerals. The roots store these, you know, they get them from the ground. And they store them in the tree, in the roots, to be able to deliver to the tree and to the fruit. And then the roots anchor the tree. And, you know, some of these, a lot of trees, as wide as those branches are, that's how wide the roots go. And I've heard as tall as the tree is, that's sometimes how deep the roots go. And you know what it's like to try to pull a tree over? You know, if it's not going to snap, it's just, I mean, wind can do it, but those roots really hold a tree solid. And that's why we're unmovable. And that's why we don't, you know, we don't fall over when we're rooted in Christ. Again, no matter what comes at us, no matter what wind blows, we can stand strong, we can stand sure because of the roots going down deep into the soil. And then again, we have this, the roots gathered this great concentration of nutrients, and the more they can gather, the faster the shoots can grow and the plumper the fruit can be. So the roots regulate the growth, and they regulate the rate of the fruit on the tree. But roots, they shrink or shy away from dry ground or other poor soil conditions. So the dresser of the vineyard knows the problem isn't with the tree that it is seen above ground, but the roots that are underground. So he pleads with the master to give the tree one more year. And the Lord is still pleading today for all of us. Give us more time. There's more fruit to be produced. There's some that haven't produced fruit, but I still think they will, Father. Give them time. Let your Holy Spirit work in your life. He asked the master to let him dig around and dung the soil. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is to dig in your heart to see what's there. He doesn't do it because he needs to know. He does it so you can know, so it can be revealed to you. And none of us like that. When the Spirit puts his finger on something in our heart, we don't like the initial shock of that sometimes, but we sure like the restitution. We sure like to walk away from that moment, that altar, knowing you're right with God. Praise God. That is always God's purpose for exposing sin in our life, is that we can have this liberty, as we sang about, in Christ. Not liberty to do those things, but free from them. Praise God. And the penalty, not just not doing it again, but the penalty of it. Praise God. The Holy Spirit does that. He, by wielding the sword of the Spirit, I like my niece Rachel read from the Amplified Wednesday out of Ephesians 6. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Praise God. The Holy Spirit takes that word and plunges it in, and he digs around and he's exposing everything in your heart. Everything that word speaks against is exposed and comes before you to repent of. Praise God. Then once he digs and exposes the heart and breaks up the fallow ground, then he applies the fertilizer. He applies the Word of God. The Spirit of God speaks to us. Praise God. And we start to grow and we start to produce fruit. In Luke chapter 8, we'll put up there the parable of the sower, since we're talking about the getting really to the root of this first parable, that it isn't the tree that's the problem. It's not even the roots that are the problem, but it's the soil around the tree. And it's only appropriate, again, because we're dirt. We're soil. We're made from it. So Luke chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Why was it trampled on? Because the ground was so hard, it just laid there. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. That was the Matthew, gives a little different story. It's all the same. It's basically, it's rocky soil, stony soil, where there's not much earth, there's not much moisture there. So it sprang up and withered away because it lacked moisture. And then verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop a hundredfold. That's what I like about Luke. Matthew says 30, it says 100, 60, and 30, and Mark says 30, 60, and 100, and Luke just goes with the 100. I like that. We're going to have 100% growth here. And as he said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, what does the seed need to hear? Do the roots need to hear? Or is it the soil that needs to hear, huh? The hearts of people. So in this parable, we learn that the condition of the soil is what determines the outcome of the seed, outcome of the roots. So there is nothing wrong with the seed, and there is nothing wrong with the seed of Christ that's in you. Isn't that awesome? That seed is perfect in you. That's a hard thing sometimes for the church to grasp, that the Christ that is in you is perfect. And when you walk in that, when you live in that, you are walking perfect and pleasing to God. So there's nothing wrong with the roots either. They will do their job if the soil is in the right condition. So if we have an ear to hear, we will understand that it is up to us to provide the right soil. And what kind of soil are you providing for the roots of the seed of Christ that is in you here this morning? In the parable, again, some of it fell by the wayside, some of that seed. Again, there's nothing wrong with the seed. It was intended to take root, to bust open and grow, as long as the soil's soft, as long as there's moisture there. But hard-headedness, stubbornness, and rebellion all create hard soil. And it is people in the world that are just going to be like that. They're going to be too stubborn. They're going to be too rebellious. They're too hard-headed to allow anything of God to come in and penetrate into their life. They just put up their resistance, and they go to hell. Resistance against a God who had all the intention to love them and bring them into his glorious kingdom. So you can throw all the seed you want on it. You can preach to it 1,000 times if you want, but if it's stubborn and hard-headed, it will not receive it. And that root can never take hold. Again, it's not the root's problem. It's the soil's problem. You and I must welcome the word. We must allow the Holy Spirit to deal with us and challenge us and go deep into our hearts and into our spirit. And then some of that soil or some of that seed fell on the stony places. Matthew says in the same parable that the sun scorched the plant of that seed. It was that scorching is the trials and tribulations of life. And it's the trials of tribulations of the pressure from this world for you to back down and give up this great quest of seeking after God. Just put it to rest and just be like the rest and get on with your miserable, rotten life. Somebody said to me, "I just feel like giving up." Or call me, I said, "We'll meet at church early, him and I, maybe another guy." And he says, "Well, you know, I wasn't a pastor then, just a deacon at the church." But he says, "Well, you know, I just feel like giving up." I says, "Giving up to what? What are you going to give up to? Go live a miserable life? You know, you got saved because your life was miserable. You know, you just go back to it again. It made some sense to him. Though I can't tell you what he's doing today. But the stony soil does not allow the root any depth, and the seed withers away. Stones are resistant to the roots. They're hard and they don't have any moisture. They don't allow the roots to penetrate. So the seed dies off. When that persecution comes and puts pressure on you, on the plant, on the tree, then it just succumbs to the pressure and it blows over every time a strong wind comes because there's nothing there to hold it anymore. Then some of it fell among the thorny soil, and we have thorny ground when we are deceived into thinking our hope and our happiness is in our riches. When we think the things around us, the things that the world offers is what's going to satisfy us. Thorny ground, or it's the cares of life overwhelm us, then our soil is thorny. Thorny ground leads us to worry about everything. The cares of life, when they are out of balance, often consist of working hard to trying to keep in what you got and working to even get more. Again, this is when your cares of life are out of balance. And the riches of this world, they crowd out the seed of Christ. I guess we would think, and we praise the Lord for it, and we thank God often for the liberty and the freedom we have in this nation to gather. We can go to church. We don't have to hide from the government. And you would think, out of all the places in the face of this earth that would be the easiest to be a Christian would be America. But maybe we need to rethink this a little bit, because Mark 10, 24 and 25, where it says, and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answering again saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is a very hard thing, according to Jesus, when we put our hope and our trust in our riches and our jobs and our employers and our parents and our own abilities to make money, whatever, and to provide for ourselves. When we put all of our trust in that, Jesus is saying it is very, very hard to enter in to the kingdom of God. It is easier, in fact, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, church, we need to be anxious for nothing. That's what Jesus says. He says we need to worry about nothing. Worrying is a sin. God, praise God, he's forgiven me of my worrying 1,000 times. I've worried 1,000 times plus. And I've repented, and the Lord's forgiven me 1,000 times. I just can't. One of my all-time champion scriptures is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add all those things that we need for this life. He will add them to us. And I love to say it this way. If we concern ourselves with his kingdom, he'll take care of our puny little kingdom. Here, amen? Praise God. That was the verse I held for my business, when it first came to my mind anyway, 28 years of business. See, I'm going to honor God with my business to the best of my ability, and he is going to take care of it. And I never went bankrupt. Hallelujah. Praise God. I used to always fear that to some degree, and that proves that verse, that what you fear will come upon you, doesn't mean what a lot of people say. Praise God. Because why? Because I was trusting the Lord. I was seeking first the kingdom of God, and that overruled my fears. Praise God. Amen. You seek first his kingdom, it overrules your doubts. You seek the kingdom of God, it overrules your fears. Hallelujah. Then the last soil was the good soil, and I'm looking at a bunch of good dirt this morning. Praise God. The better the soil, the greater the growth. All the way to 100-fold, 30, 60, 100-fold. Your soil will determine if your roots will have the moisture, That's the moisture of the Holy Spirit and all the nutrients for you to bring forth fruit. If your soil is hard or shallow, both Jeremiah and Hosea tell us what to do. Break up your fallow ground. Break up your hard ground. He isn't saying call Farmer Joe to come with his tractor. He's saying you do it. Praise God. You break up your hard-headedness, your stubbornness. You repent of it. You get done with that. You open up your life to the Lord and let Him come in and break up the fallow ground and those roots. It's like, ooh, man, this is, I can really move around down here now, finally. It is your responsibility to have soil that accommodates the seed of Christ. The water is the Holy Spirit given dominion over your life. The nutrients are the Word of God. The anchoring of the roots is prayer and devotion to God. The concentration of the nutrients is the constant studying and receiving of the Word of God. When a Christian is overcome by various struggles with a variety of things, it always almost goes back to the roots. There's nothing wrong with the tree. It goes back to the soil that is around the roots. If the roots are not established, then you will live an up and down and in and out, back and forth, left and right type of Christianity. Whenever you see Christians like that, it's because they've never given that good soil, the seed, the good soil, the roots, the good soil that it needs. But you know, today you can break it up. Today can be the day. From now on, these roots are getting good soil. I want them to go deep. Praise God. We're praying. Isn't that a prayer and a song in this church for the last year or two, going deeper with God? But that will never happen if we have fallow ground. If we're hard-headed and pig-headed and stubborn, you can go ahead and sing that deeper still. I love that part of that thank you song or whatever, deeper still and deeper still. It's my favorite part of the song. But it means nothing if I'm hard, if I'm stubborn against God. But if my fallow ground's broken up, He's hearing that when I sing that. He's hearing that when you sing that. And those roots go, man, I'm going down. I love Jesse Knutson one time did a devotion. We were having a men's breakfast with a few churches. Those things always die out for some reason. I don't know why. But he spoke at the very first one, and Lord was showing him about his trees on his property after a big storm and showed him one tree, why it went down, another tree, why it was looking sickly. And then he showed him one that was big and strong. And then he's talking about the roots. But he says that when roots are lacking water, you know what they do? He says they start burrowing deeper. Give me water. Give me water. And they keep on going deeper. And they're looking for the water. We need to give them the water. So what kind? I just end. I'm over already with this message because I think I've said enough. I think the point is made clear. I want to ask you, what kind of soil are you providing for the seed of Christ? What kind of soil are you providing for that life of Christ to grow? Look at your life. Is it a constant struggle for you? Someone says one mean thing and you blow up. Someone says, looks at you cross-eyed and your love for them just dwindles. You're impatient. You can't stand because somebody skipped line or something. Are you struggling with the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Because you haven't given good soil for this seed and this root and this plant, this image of Christ to produce the fruit that it will. It will never, ever, 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 ever fail to have fruit. It's impossible for the seed of Christ to be corrupted. You can plant a bad plant and a bad tree and it'll grow up and just never produce. But that's not so with the seed of Christ. It will always produce the fruit and the nature and the character of God and every believer that'll have its fallow ground broken up. So Jeremy, if you want to come up, and I think he already went out to get a song, praise God. And I'm just opening up the altar. We're just going to, I've kind of been liking the way we've been doing this lately, maybe not having an official end, just opening up the altar, whether it's up here, whether it's in your chair. Come and spend some time with the Lord. If you need to leave, fine. Nobody's thinking anything of you. Because I understand you can go to church for a half year, and then all of a sudden one Sunday, just one of those messages just blow your life apart. And you need to hit to the altar. And, you know, and sometimes you just got done making things with right, and you don't need to respond. And I understand that. But if this is convicting you this morning, the altar's open. The time is here. And those of you, when you want to leave, if you just keep your conversations out there and just let this just be a time of soul searching, time of allowing ourselves to break up the fallow ground, let the seed of Christ grow. So amen. And if you feel led to pray for someone, make sure you feel led. And if I do, I will as well. So anyways, the altar's open. Just go ahead and have the Lord pray.